Good morning, students. Glory be. I appreciate your glorious attendance and the wonderful questions that we are soon to receive. I am Sanat Kumara, Melchizedek, Venus. First question, please.
Good morning, Sanat Kumara. My question is, why do animals love so much when they don't always seem to be loved back?
God bless you, sweet one. Will you please share your first name?
Sharia.
And Sharia, I'm going to ask you to repeat that question slow and say it one more time, please, sweet one.
Why do animals love so much when they don't always seem to be loved back?
God bless you. What a glorious question for our holy lineage of beloved Mahakohan Athena, the beginning of mighty nature consciousness. Glory be. Why do animals love so much and they do not seem to receive the same love? Well, students, it takes one who is in their heart to ask that question. So Sharia is speaking from her heart as she observes the animal kingdom. And you all know what animals do when they come here. Some of them are loved greatly, some of them are not. Some of them are put in circumstances that aren't necessarily pleasant for that particular animal. They are evolved beings that come in with a coat. And they not only wear a coat, they also agreed that they would not speak human. They speak, students. They just do not speak human language. So humans automatically assume that that being in that coat does not have the intelligence that that human observing them has. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The one who is assuming is the one who is ignorant. Those that wear the coats and choose to come in and not speak English or other human language, they are evolved. They are on assignment. And they are here as holy creators, emissaries, to expand nature consciousness. Now, as you observe that they give love and they do not get the same love in return, well, let me give you the first glorious divine example. That is called unconditional love. How many of you have experienced unconditional love? When Sanat Kumara asks you this question, you sit there and you say, oh, Sanat, I know unconditional love. I feel this for my family or my children. Now, do you ever expect anything in return from your children or your family? Be not too hasty to answer that question, because on some level, you should expect something in return. You are in a Roman experience, 3D, and what you do on this planet is called conditional love. What you give, you should expect to receive. Unconditional love does not expect to receive, because unconditional love is from the heart of Almighty God. It is divine. It is divine vibration. It expects no thing in return, for it is and of itself complete. Now, animal kingdom comes in with this. Human does not come in with this. Much to be pondered as Sanat Kumara shares this with you. As a matter of fact, this should take you into next week, and the next week, and the next week, as you hear and listen to my words. Pay attention to nature. Every human has vast wealth of information to learn. Next question, please.
Beloved Sanat Kumara, my name is Rama. My question is, as I journey through life, as I face many hardships, my heart cries out, God, where are you? Where are you, God? And I seemingly receive no response. Can you please expand?
God bless you, Rama. God bless you, sweet one. Over half the planet Earth asks this question every day, all day long. Where is God? I hurt. Where is God? I don't like what I see. Where is God? Where is God? Where is God? And they receive no answer. Students, you all agreed to come onto this planet. And as you walked onto this planet, you also agreed to experience free will. Now, that seems to be an interesting connotation that all humans have yet to understand. Free will. What does this mean? Free will. I know there might be divinity. I think there might be divinity. I hope there is divinity, because on this planet, it seems senseless. It seems that there is no end to all of the craziness. Surely, there is divine source somewhere. Why doesn't divine source hear me? Why doesn't divine source do what I think divine source should do? Why doesn't God change my life? So let us go back to the phrase free will. Everyone walks onto this planet and they have decisions to make. It's called taking responsibility for your energy. Your planet laughingly throws the word karma around. They are clueless on karma. If they truly knew what karmic debt meant, they wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. They would be so humbled and so scared to put one foot on the ground, knowing that they had to take responsibility for each step they walked, for each thought they thought, for each feeling they felt, for each action they took. They wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. So, Mr. Brain wants someone to blame. He does not want to be responsible for his creations. He agreed to come to planet Earth. He agreed to have free will. And in that free will, he agreed that he would look at his actions, his thoughts, his feelings, and somewhere along the way, he didn't like the building he built. He didn't like the rooms the way they looked. He didn't want to go in that building anymore. So rather than go look in the mirror, Mr. Brain wants to blame God. There is a way to move through all of this, students. I teach it daily to all of you. I teach you all how to put divine source into energy and allow God to go first and then receive God. This is new for Mr. Brain. He's not done this before. Next question, please.
This is Christina. Beloved Sanat Kumara, would you please expand on your concept of the ego as a protector and defender of me?
God bless you, precious Christina. She's asking about ego. Ego as your protector, the beginner and the ender of your me. So me, of course, is your human incarnation. Mr. Ego is me's brother. I call Mr. Brain, Mr. Ego, and me the 3D jury. And clearly, students, the jury is still out. They're still deciding where they stand on heart. And heart is what I call divine source. 3D jury looks at source. They still haven't decided where they stand with divine source. Now, ego is in the middle of that sandwich. So you have Mr. Brain, and you have ego, and you have me. Now, I define ego as your personality. And each of you have a magnificent personality. So, Holy Creator did not create a robot. Thank God for that. You go out there and you pick out 10 people on your planet, and you will look at 10 different personalities. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Holy Creator isn't all vanilla? Aren't you glad that Holy Creator is diverse? Aren't you glad that Holy Creator is exemplary in movement of energy that expands and expands and expands through ego? Aren't you glad? If you were all the same, can you imagine how uninspired you would become? Go look at nature. Look at the vast variety within nature. Your glorious example of Holy Creator's omnipotence, omniscience. Now, back to Mr. Ego. What are you going to do with Mr. Ego? I wrote a book on Mr. Ego. I shared with you what you should do with Mr. Ego. He looks to his big brother called Mr. Brain. Mr. Brain is the one that makes the final decisions in your human incarnation. And there we go back to that free will. Mr. Brain is the one that will make the decision whether or not to allow his vessel to insert divine source in energy. So how does Mr. Ego fit in on all of this? Well, students, let us just say God's more than salt and pepper. Let us just say God is more than vanilla. Let us just say that God, in God's glorious creation, knew that with all of these different personalities, Holy Creator would expand and expand and expand collective consciousness with such a variety of energetic dimensions and fields that it would become a joyful, joyful journey of evolution. Mr. Ego fits in there, students. He is the personality of you. He still will always look to his big brother, Mr. Brain, to make the final decision. And yet, he will confer with Mr. Brain, and he will tell Mr. Brain how he feels about his precious vessel. And he will have his own if, could, shoulds, what's, buts. And yet, we will always know that Mr. Brain will have the final say over ego. So do not be disgruntled with others' egos. If you recognize a rooster ego or you recognize a mouse ego, it does not matter. There are opportunities for growth in both. Holy Creator knew that everyone was going to experience rooster. Holy Creator knew that everyone was going to experience mouse. Doesn't mean that one is less or better than the other, only if you say so. Holy Creator knew that one ego would roar. Holy Creator knew that the other ego would meow. Does it mean that one is better than the other? Only if you say so. So, whether we see a big ego or a little ego, it does not matter. What matters is, can that individual insert divine source into the energy of big or little? Is that one capable of letting Holy Creator go first in that energy? That is what we look at. Whether it is big or little does not matter to Holy Creator. Holy Creator is looking to those who can allow heart to guide Mr. Brain. God bless you, students, for your holy, holy questions. I honor you with all of my heart, and I thank you for your participation. I am Sanat Kumara Melchizedek Venas.